Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And for those of you who attend with us regularly, you know that I like to walk around and move around through the sanctuary. And since we're videoing, I'm not able to do that, or I'll just disappear from the screen. So you don't see it, but we've attached an electric collar to me, and there's an electric fence about around outside the perimeter of the video shot. So I'll get it. If you see me getting a shot, I step too far out of the line of vision. So I'm going to try my best to stay within a general area to still see you, to see me. But we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1. And wanted to begin, we've been going through the Deep Waters series and studying the move of the Spirit, and we were about two or three messages away from the gifts of the Spirit. And I thought it would be better for us to discuss using the gifts and applying the gifts when we're actually together. It'd be difficult for us to use those in a service when we're not together. So in the interim, we're going to be teaching from Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians, as I read through that, the theme I see in there is the strength that God gives us to strengthen us up. And it's in seasons like this that we probably need God to strengthen and build us up. And I don't know about you. Have you ever had moments where you had a need, you had something that you weren't capable of doing, you didn't have the knowledge to do it, and you found a friend? For example, my tech friend that I don't have the tech knowledge to do what he does, so he came and I could ask him questions and he took care of me. Or if you've ever been to a mechanic and they told you you're going to need this done or that done, this work is going to cost this much, and you have a mechanic friend who knows what he's talking about, and he's there with you, and he could say, actually, you don't need that done or whatever. It's good to have somebody by your side who either knows what they're talking about or has the ability to do things. And Jesus is far better than any mechanic or doctor or a tech guy or any person who has strength, any military professional that you could find. Jesus is far greater than that. And so as we're in this season of dealing with this virus, whether it bothers you or not, even if the virus does not concern you, the economic outlet or just the surroundings of fear being around us are things that could have effect on us, or just the lack of contact can have an effect on us. And it's in these times that we need to know that somebody has our back, that there is somebody that is there for us, providing us the resources that we need. And we're going to see in Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to look at the first 14 verses, that Paul, through this letter, is going to demonstrate for us how God, in whatever circumstances you're facing, is providing you the strength. He has your back to help you work through whatever you face. It's not a guarantee that he'll eliminate your struggles or your problems, but he can see you through anything that you find yourself facing. So look with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Verse 6. To the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to the purpose which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in heaven and all things in him in heaven and on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Now, there's some language in here that speaks of being chosen or sealed or predestined. And there are some who believe that God handpicks the individuals that are saved and those that are not, and it is not left to our choice. And I think those who take that view miss what Paul is trying to say to us, what God is trying to say to us in this letter. We miss the value of what he's trying to tell us if we focus too much on the idea of predestination. And the way we can work around that is there's clarity that's provided in verse 13 that helps us understand this whole idea of being predestined. In verse 13, it says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." This sealing, this guaranteeing, or this being chosen is a result of you hearing the message of the gospel and responding to it with believing, responding to it in faith. And when you did that, that's what ignited this being sealing. That's what ignited this being predestined. It's not that God handpicked the individuals who were saved. It's that he handpicked the way to be saved. And when you choose to enter into Christ, you have all the things that are stated in this passage is at your back when you are found to be in Christ Jesus. So what are the things that we find when we're in Christ Jesus? Let's look at verse 1. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus." Now, often in an epistle or in an introduction, we just kind of dismiss it and kind of just see that he's just saying hi, he's just offering a greeting. But oftentimes the epistle writers will tell us things in their greeting that is a part of the message that they're about to tell us. And we will see this play itself out in a moment as he made the statement, "Paul, an apostle by the will of God." Now, not that any of us are apostles, and sometimes he mentions this because Paul's ministry was often under attack, and he often found himself feeling the need to defend his ministry, but we also see that it fits the theme of what he says in these 14 verses, that Paul is an apostle by the will of God. So when you find yourself in Christ, there is a will that God has. God wills things into existence. God wills things to happen. God pushes for things to happen. And so when you find yourself facing fear, anxiety, lack of provisions, whatever it is you find yourself facing, understand that God has a will that he's working out in your life. If you are in Christ Jesus, he is willing you to have provisions, willing you to have peace, willing you to have an absence of fear, willing you on. God's will is behind you if you are found to be in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Don't you want God's peace? No matter what you're facing, don't you want, it could have nothing to do with this virus, it could have everything to do with other things in your life. And there is a peace that God gives that surpasses all understanding, and it's linked to the grace that he provides as well. And when we journey to serve him, we make mistakes. I make mistakes, you make mistakes, the people in this room, we make mistakes. And it's God's grace that allows us to stay in Christ. It's God's grace that allows us to continue. It's God's grace that allows us to move past the mistakes, the sin, the failures and the flaws in us. It's God's grace that allows us to continue and be found still sitting inside of Christ. We are clothed with Christ, and he is there willing us on, providing the grace that we need, and then providing the peace that we need, again, if we're found to be in Christ. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Does he say that he provides us just with a couple of spiritual blessings? Just with a few things? He's throwing out some scraps to us. He provides us with every single spiritual blessing that is available to you. Whether it's a spiritual gift, whether it's the ability to pray in tongues, whether it's the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, whether it's the gift of peace and comfort, whatever it is that the Holy Spirit has to offer, you have available to you right now, wherever you are in this building, in your living room, in some other location, no matter what you're facing, no matter what the day of the week is, you have the untapped potential of the heavens available to you. And so whatever you're facing right now, if you are in Christ, God has your back. God is willing you on. God is giving you the grace and peace to sustain you and keep you in. He's giving you every spiritual blessing. And then verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Now hold on to that holy and blameless, because we're going to hear phrases like that two other occasions in this passage. And we're going to get a cluster of statements that go together. So holy and blameless we'll get to in a moment. But he has chosen us. And we explained in verse 13 why that doesn't mean that he handpicks those who are saved. But once I find myself in Christ, I'm his man. Once I have found myself in Christ, you are his man, his woman, his child. He has chosen you. He has decided that you are his, and he's going after you. And he's going to do everything he can to lead you through whatever you face. You are his chosen child. You are his special creation. If you are found in Christ, he wants you. And what a great thing to think of. Especially if we're finding ourselves having to do the whole social distancing and we're losing connection with people. I saw on Facebook a picture of a son, an adult son, outside the window of his father who was in a nursing home, because you can't go in a nursing home. And he's there on the window, talking on the phone through the window with his father, and just making sure they can still connect despite what the rules are. And there's a loss of connection at the moment with that physical contact in different ways. And we know that God is still choosing us and wants to be with us. And so when we can't rely on people, we can always rely on Jesus to be right there again, willing us on, giving us the grace and peace we need, giving us every spiritual blessing, choosing us. Verse 5, in love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. He predestined us. Again, not that he predestined us to be saved in the way that he chose us, but that when you find yourself in Christ, he decides, I'm going to guarantee this person is going to make it. I'm predestined that this person is going to make it. I'm going to put all my energy and all my effort in making sure this guy, this woman, gets through whatever it is they face. They are with me and I'm pulling them through it. And so when you find yourself in Christ, you have him willing you along. You have his grace and his peace. You have every spiritual blessing available to you. You are chosen by him, and he is putting his predestination force behind you. So when you're facing the things you struggle with, you're perplexed by, you're confused by, just remember that in the midst of every single moment, he is there predestined that you make it through. Even if any experience leads to death or to loss, he can still see you through that window as well. God is there if I am found in Christ. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. And again, that because of for his glorious first praise and his glorious grace, we're going to tack that into that cluster. We're going to get at the end. And verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Not only does he give us a little bit of grace, he gives us a lot of grace. He gives us enough. There is not one sin that he can't give us the grace to get over that line. He gives us an abundance of grace. And verse 8, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He is lavishing this upon us, his grace, his love, his spiritual blessings, his benefits, his power. God doesn't want to just give you a little measure. God wants to give you the fullest measure, lavishing it upon you like no other human being you could experience. God wants to lavish that upon you in great abundance, if I am in Christ. And so whatever you're facing, if you are in Christ, you have Him willing you on, you have His grace and peace, you have every spiritual blessing, you are chosen, predestined, you have Him lavishing upon you His goodness and His grace. Verse 9, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ Jesus. Verse 10, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. The mystery of His will. Have you ever not known really what's going to happen tomorrow? Don't know what's going to happen next month or next year. And sometimes it's not a problem. Other times you need to know the answers. And you can't figure out what the answers are. And He says that when we are found in Christ, He makes known to us the mystery of His will. Jesus Christ can give us revelation, not necessarily future events, but He can do that. But He will give us the revelation of this is what I should do in this moment, in this time. This is what I should do. This is what I should think. This is what I should feel. And He gives us guidance step by step how to walk through each of those things. And again, have you ever called an IT person and they said, well, just shut down your computer? You thought, well, I tried that already. And they try to walk through. Sometimes they can't help you, or because they don't fully know what's going on the other side. So they don't know what to tell you to solve your problem. Jesus knows the solution to every problem. And since He knows that, and since when we're in Christ, we have that connection to Him, no matter what you face, if you're confused, if you're perplexed, you don't know what to do, Jesus wants to reveal to you the insight to the mystery of His will to show you what it is that you need to do. And I'm believing that this coronavirus, what is perplexing about this, is Satan has a will for this virus. Satan, not that he started it, but Satan has things that he would like to accomplish with what's happening with this virus. God has a will for this virus. Not that He brought it upon us, but God has things that He is going to accomplish because it's here. Humanity has a will. There will be people that will do good. There will be people that will try to take advantage of the climate that we're in. People have a will for what will happen in response to this. And the amazing thing is that this, as it says, we saw this last week. If you missed that, go to the website or to the YouTube channel on the message on God and the coronavirus. But this does not, because all things work together for the good of those who love Him, this does not have to just be because He wanted to do one thing. This does not have to be because He wanted to do something in one person's life. God can have thousands upon thousands of individuals that He's doing something in their life as a result of this climate we're in. He could have multiple purposes to accomplish in your life for what is going on right now. That's the amazing thing of God, is for us, we can't even fathom the ideas and the ways to monitor and take care of things that He can. And God is there accomplishing His will and doing amazing things in the midst of it. And all we need to do is be in Christ, and He's ready to tell us, this is what you do next. Don't worry, don't be afraid. This is what you do right now. And in that verse 10, He said that He's making all things to be united in Him. Have you ever had something fall apart? Whether it's a piece of technology or whether it's something else that falls apart, and you didn't know how to put it together again. I can't stand those games where there's some pieces together and you're supposed to figure out how to get it all disconnected and then put it back together again. I can't stand those things because I can never figure out how to get them all disconnected, because it's a puzzle. It's a trick on how to figure out how to get through things. And sometimes in our lives we have things that are falling apart and we don't know how to piece everything together. And in the midst of our fear, in the midst of our panic, in the midst of our confusion, God is there doing His will. God is there working on our behalf, and He is piecing all the pieces together to unite all things together in Christ Jesus, if I'm found to be in Christ. If I am in Christ, I have all of this backing. God has my back, and God is willing me forward, predestining me forward, choosing me to move forward, giving me the grace, lavishing upon me spiritual blessings. God is there to give all of this to me, all of this to you, if we're found to be in Christ. Verse 11. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. Again, we keep seeing that theme throughout this passage of so that we would be holy and blameless, so that we would be to the praise of his glory. We've seen this now three times, and we're going to hold on to that idea at the end of this passage. Verse 13, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. The moment you made the choice to follow Jesus, you instantly had the backing of the Holy Spirit. Even after that, the moment you decide, when Jesus begins to lead, when Jesus begins to guide, the moment you respond and say, yes, I'll go that direction, there is the Holy Spirit instantaneously sealing that decision. The moment you decide to do what he calls you to do, the Holy Spirit is there instantaneously sealing up that decision. God wants you to accomplish. God wants you to thrive. God wants you to persevere. And all I have to do is be found in Christ Jesus. And there he is, willing me on. There he is, predestining me, choosing me, giving me all the gifts that he needs to give me, lavishing upon me, and sealing me up with the Holy Spirit. That is what I have at my back. So when you face the virus, when you face quarantine, when you face losing a job, when you face health issues, when you face confusion, when you face anything in your life, place yourself in Jesus Christ, and there is a backing to you like there is nowhere else, because God has your back. And you see, if we got wrapped up into predestination and the idea of who gets saved and who does not get saved, we would completely miss in this introduction the message he has for us, that God has our back. Last verse, verse 14. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory? The guarantee. There's not a lot of things in this life that you can feel assured that there's a guarantee to it. Have you ever made an insurance claim and they did not cover what you thought was guaranteed to be covered? Have you ever had a warranty and you attempted to make a claim and you found out that it wasn't what you thought was covered, wasn't covered by that warranty? And there are times that we expect things to be guaranteed and they're not, because people let us down. Companies let us down. Churches let us down. Professionals let us down. But God, he guarantees he will be right there with you in the hospital bed, right there with you when you're alone, right there with you in your climax and peak, right there with you in your valley. And you can rest assured that everything you need for that moment to get through it, God will be there willing you through it, giving you the grace and peace to get through it, predestining you to get through it, choosing you, sealing you up, guaranteeing, lavishing upon you, giving every spiritual gift there is available to you. God has your back no matter what you face. If only we are found to be in Christ. You see, I don't have any of this if I'm not a true follower of Jesus Christ. And sometimes I lack this if I'm backsliding or rebelling or walking away from the Lord. I only have all of this when I'm in Christ. So when you find yourself facing anxiety, am I in Christ? Am I truly seeking him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength? Are you truly in Christ today? Worship team, if you would come and prepare to lead us in song. And I want to give you, those of you who are watching this video, an opportunity to respond to what the Holy Spirit might be doing in your life. And at the end of service, we're going to leave the feet open for a moment to allow you to put in their requests for prayer. We have a prayer team that is prepared to call you on the phone this afternoon and pray with you for your prayer needs, pray with you for your response to this message this morning, as we want to tend to your needs and take care of you and respond and trust that God's going to do a great work in your life. But again, the question that I need to ask myself, do I not have all these things at my disposal? Do I not have His grace to overcome my mistakes and flaws? Do I not have His will on my side? Am I not predestined and chosen? Do I not have a lavishing upon me all the goodness that He has for me from the heavenly places? Do I not have the sealing up of the Holy Spirit? Do I not have this peace and assurance? Do I not have these things? Then the question I want to ask myself is why? Because the person who's in Christ should have all of these things. And maybe it's because you're not truly a follower of Jesus. Maybe you believed yourself to be so, but your life does not demonstrate that. And being a follower of Jesus is not just saying some magical prayer. It's not just coming down to an altar call. It's a life commitment of surrendering your life to Him and to His will. That's a life that's in Christ. And in a moment, the worship team is going to lead us, and I want to ask you to take this opportunity to spend a moment in prayer and give your life to Jesus right where you are. And He wants to give you all that He has for you as you begin to be found in Christ. Or maybe you are a follower of Jesus, but you're still lacking. Somehow you're lacking these things. Then I want you to talk with Him right now and ask Him, why is it that I don't have this? And let Him show you. Is it that I'm not trusting? Is it that I'm just not aware? Is it that my eyes are on my storms and my other things that are going on and not on Jesus? What is it that is keeping me from, no matter what I face, experiencing the fullness of His peace and His grace being lavished upon me and the strength that He provides? So as they lead us, let's take a moment and let's seek Him and let Him do His work in us this morning. You calm our fears. Thank You that You meet our every need. Thank You that You never leave us nor forsake us. Thank You that You're always right there with us, that You have our back, and that You are there strengthening us. And we ask that You would continue to be at work in us. And if you decided today you wanted to surrender your life to Jesus so that you're found in Him, I want you to take a moment right where you are and just pray with me this prayer. Lord Jesus, I've decided that I want to surrender everything I am to You. And I've decided to not trust and count on other sources to be my source for life and sustenance, well-being, and for my eternal destiny, salvation. I'm placing all of that in Your hands. And I ask, Lord, that You would clothe me in Jesus Christ and that You would give me all these wonderful gifts and experiences that You've explained in Your word in Ephesians 1. Give that to me, Lord. I want You today. And if your prayer this morning was not that you want to come to know Jesus because you already know Him, but you've been wrestling, you've been struggling, and you want to know the fullness of all that He has for you, I want to pray with you. Lord Jesus, I ask right now, no matter where we are, where we're watching this video, or even when, if someone's watching this after the recording, I ask that right now, where they are, You would begin to place Your hand upon them. You would stir up their spirit. You would fill them with Your goodness. You would lavish it upon them. And that You would let fear go away. You would let anxiety move. You would let a lack move and obstacles be cleared away. And You would enable them to walk through life and through this experience and every experience they walk through. You never said You would take away every trouble and every difficulty. But you said, as we saw in this passage, you would give us so much to carry us through every experience. So I ask for those who need your touch today, that you would give it to them in the lavishing way that you would lavish it upon them. Thank you for what you're doing among us. Lord, as this video is completed and as others watch it down the road, continue the work that you started. For those of us that are watching it now, continue the work that you started throughout the week and just do a great work in our lives. There is no obstacle. There is no quarantining. There is no virus. There is no problem that you can't walk us through it and give us the victory. And so we're asking for mighty things for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And I almost failed to mention to you the phrases we were catching to the praise of his glory. The reason why he gives us so much and so many good things is so that we can give him glory by the way we testify of his abilities to others. And so I encourage you to be a witness. Make sure that your life is what it should be so that you don't put any negative name upon him, and be a witness to others, because God wants to work in the lives of others, and sometimes he wants to do it through you. So I encourage you to be at work in other people's lives. We can do this through technology. So as I've been encouraging you to do so, please share this video with other people. Invite other people to be a part of it and let them hear what God is doing, see what God is doing. If you've not watched the Children's Church video, once we conclude, you can click on that and let your kids enjoy a time of children's worship together. Again, the link is in comments for giving. We encourage you to give to help us continue to do the things that we're doing. You can do that online. And if you would like prayer, whether it's just for any personal prayer need that you have, or you would like prayer to be prayed for in response to what God said to us in Ephesians, then just communicate to us. Again, you can message us on our Facebook page. You can email me. You can text me if you have that number. Or you can put it in the comments and let us know how to reach you. Let us know your name. And this afternoon, we'll have someone call you. We'll be glad to pray with you and pray for your need. Also, I want to encourage you to join us this coming Wednesday. Again, you need an invitation to join that video conferencing. Again, just communicate through us in the various channels. And we'd be glad to have you join us in our prayer meeting Bible study. Next week, join us as we look to be able to see what God sees in the second half of Ephesians chapter 1. And as to spending a time of greeting, we can't do that in person, but you can do that online. So we're going to leave the stream open for a few more minutes, and you can see in comments that you can see some of the people that are there watching this. And so just begin to comment to one another. You can Facebook message each other. And things like that, but let's give someone I heard comments throughout the virtual world giving people a virtual hug, so if you want to give that, but just communicate to one another, and we're looking forward to what God is going to do for us and through us. We'll see you next time. God bless you.